You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about understanding the difference between noise and importance, and how this really relates to all your relationships. You know, better yet, how to put these specific types of people and their issues into perspective. You know, I think it's interesting because I think we actually look at our relationships now as adults. We kind of conceive them from when we were children. And what I mean by that is that we expect certain things from people, and depending on how loud they are and how gregarious they are, we define how important the situation is. And I think a lot of this began on the playground. Think about it. When you were a kid, when you're out on the playground and you're hanging out and you're playing, there was always that really, really loud kid. The one that was kind of rude, the one that got everybody's attention and usually made you feel a certain way. And I think a lot of times in life, you know, when people say the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? It's that loud kind of nagging person that seems to get us all riled up. And for some reason, even if what they have to say isn't that important, we have a tendency of putting a lot of importance on what they say. And what I mean by that is when somebody like that calls you or comes into your office, it's like you drop everything to deal with this person. And I think that we have everything kind of screwed up. I think we have everything upside down and twisted forward because I think that we have to put things into perspective. Yes, put it in perspective to figure out what really matters in our life and understand the honest definition and difference between what it is to have noise in your life and what it is to have importance in your life. And I'll be honest with you, what you're going to learn tonight and what we're going to go through is that noise does not equate importance. Just because somebody is very noisy or very combative or someone has like a tendency of being all in your face and then is never around and wants your attention immediately but then gone. These are certain specific guideposts that let you know that this indeed is noise and not necessarily important. I want to talk and begin tonight's conversation, which is just because somebody is loud and just because somebody's noisy doesn't make them important. It just doesn't. And I think since we've been kids growing up on that playground, since we've been children, and I think we start questioning or we actually put in the place of importance the noise people. The people that are noisy, the people that are loud, the people that are rude tend to get the most important. Think about it. When was the last time you were in a restaurant and you're ordering and somebody in that restaurant is having a conniption fit? Something's hitting the fan. They're angry about something. They're upset. You know, God bless, they're upset, right? Oh, God bless the poor monkeys upset. But seriously, they're upset. And you're like, okay. And everybody's catering to them. Everybody's catering to them. And there you are trying to get some water and you can't get any water to save your life. And that's where our society has fallen down, is that we're giving all this time and energy to people that don't deserve it. Think about the news. Think about the news. Okay, a lot of these stories that we get to hear about are some crazy people that do some bad things, and we get to hear about that all night long. I don't want to hear about that all night long. And you know what? Just because so-and-so did some screwed up stuff and hurt a lot of people doesn't mean that they should get a lot of fame out of this. And I think it's in the same part counterpart that we're talking about tonight, because it seems like the rude, obnoxious, narcissistic people tend to get the most attention, the most pseudo-respect, and the most of our time. And I want to change all that tonight because I'm sick and tired of it. I almost gave into it over the weekend. Over the last weekend. And I thought about this all the way through the week because I definitely wanted to do this show because it kind of crept through the whole weekend. It crept through the whole week. And it's so funny because I kept thinking about this one particular person. So let me explain what happened. So there's a difference that I have with somebody. We have a difference of opinion, a difference of perception. And we both came to an agreement about a year ago on our agenda. And now at the last minute, a year later, this person's changing their tune. They're changing their tune completely. They decided to change mode of operandes, and they are now putting this all back on me. And so I was heading out of town for a family reunion, and I'm glad I'm able to do this show right now because it is just so timely. And I was heading out of town, and there's a lot of stress involved. You got a whole family together. You have to do a lot of traveling. There's a lot of things that are going on. And in the process, I have this person calling me like 5 times. Like, I haven't heard from this person. This person hasn't personally called me ever. Okay? Ever. They're emailing me. They're calling me. And it's like I'm in the route to go to the airport. And I'm driving everybody. And the last thing I can do is get on the phone. Because if you've ever been in the car with a bunch of family members heading to an airport in the morning, the last thing you can do is get on a phone call. And I think everybody understands that, because when was the last time you got on that phone call? You remember. Oh, you remember how well that call went. You remember how everybody's in the background talking and how somebody tells you you missed the exit, which you didn't. And you got the kids in the background screaming and yelling, and you're trying to hear what this person's saying. And a lot of what this person's saying is just irritating you and upsetting you already. And you go, why in God's green creation did I take this call? What was I thinking? Was I really wanting to hurt myself? Is that what it was? Did I wake up and say, yeah, this is sadistic Saturdays. I love it. This is sadistic Sundays. Let's go for it. Woohoo! No, you decided to do it because that person was noisy and they kept at it. And that's the key here, is that that's your indication. And we're going to talk more about that later on throughout the hour, because I want to give you the signposts and the indications of when you need to know to be aware. So, you know, it was interesting. So I took the call, and it was all just a bunch of, I don't know, it's kind of like a little bit of fascination on one side and then a little bit of smokescreen and then not a lot of knowledge. And you really can't argue. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to take this call because I've taken the call before in the car. I've done that before. I've tried it out. I've done it, and it's not gone well. Okay. So in response, instead of not responding at all, I went on and texted back. I texted back and I let them know, hey, I'm heading to the airport right now. I'm heading to a family reunion. I got a lot of people in the car and I'd love to talk with you. It might be tomorrow because I have a long flight and have delays and got all kinds of stuff going on and got to get everybody to a place and got to do all this stuff. And I don't think I'm going to have any time to make a call. It's going to probably last 20 to 30 to 40 minutes, but I'll definitely reach out. And I always think it's funny when you're dealing with somebody that falls into this noise category, because they will never return communication the way that you began your communication. Okay, let me explain that. For example, yes, I understand that this person called me, right? And my response was in a text. But my response was in a text because I was explaining the fact that I couldn't get on a call with them based on the current situations in the car. And based on the current situations that I was getting to the airport, got to get a lot of people on a plane, got to check in a lot of bags, got to go through security, got to do those kind of things, you know? And they don't ever respond back to you. It's interesting how, however you respond, if you respond in an email, they don't respond. If you respond in a text message, they don't respond. If you don't respond exactly how they want you to respond, then they won't respond back to you. And that's a crucial, crucial element to remember when you're dealing with noise versus importance. If it was really, truly important and it wasn't just about the noise, they would respond back to you in a fashion and say, I totally understand. I totally understand. Let's talk next week. Let's get it together. But when it's noise, it seems like all this stuff is an emergency. It's based on an emergency that's not a true emergency. When was the last time you had somebody freak out over something that there was no emergency behind it? Yeah, there was. Maybe there's some tension. Maybe there's a couple of semi, not real deadlines. But in reality, there's no emergency, okay? There's no real reason to freak out. I mean, it's like freaking out at the Starbucks because it's taking them an extra 5 minutes to make your coffee. That's about the importance line that we're talking about. And so tonight, you know, I'm going to be really pointing out the concept of when you realize that something is noise versus importance. And also really how to understand and understand these specific types of people and the issues, really, that they're going to bring to your table. Because I don't know about you, but life can be difficult enough. Making money, being employed, working, 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 taking care of the family, doing all that kind of stuff in the middle. And then when you add that noise component in, you add a completely different component. You add a component of difficulty that you don't really even see coming because you jump on board with it because you, oh, they're noisy, they're loud, they're rude, they got to have something to say. Well, you know what? We're going to put an end to that tonight because I'm tired of it. And I know you are too, because it gets in the way of you living your life the way you want to live it. It gets in the way of you living your life the way you want to, because you know what? They're taking advantage of you. And I think a lot of it's because we want to make everybody happy. We want to do the right thing. We feel bad if we can't communicate immediately. But this whole technology society based on this phone and that somebody can reach you at any time in any place has gotten a little out of control. We all want responses immediately. We all don't care if somebody's busy. And we all start making assumptions when someone doesn't immediately call us back. This whole world has gotten to this point that everybody wants an immediate response, and possibly half of them or more don't deserve it. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking about understanding that difference between noise and importance and how you can compartmentalize and realize how to deal with these specific people and their specific issues and get you on the right path and the right perspective. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. I'll be back this time, and let's say two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about the difference between noise and importance and how they relate to all your relationships. You know, better yet, how to actually see specific types of people, their issues, and put it into perspectives. You know, just because somebody is loud and noisy doesn't make them important. Hear ye, hear ye. Let it be known that from this day on, we decree that just because somebody is loud and noisy and rude doesn't make them important. Yes. You heard it here on Perspectives. Because a lot of times I think we confuse people that are loud and rude and noisy with people that are actually important. Because what? It gets our attention. I mean, it's kind of like a train wreck, right? It's like when you're driving down the road and there's a wreck on the side of the highway, you look. Only few people don't look, but you look. You stop, you take a gander, you look. And there's a lot of reasons why you look. You might look because you're like, gosh, I hope that's not my family member that was driving that direction. Gosh, I just saw, you know, some awful wreck the other day, and I hope they're okay. Or gosh, man, I just love to look at wrecks. And a lot of times that's how life is that people get your attention by being as loud and as noisy and rude as possible. Kids do it all the time. How do you think they get mom and dad's attention when they're at the store and they want something? They don't sit there and go, hey, pardon me, mom. Hey, I was just going to ask you, is there any way we can stop down the chicken strip aisle and get some chicken strips for tonight's dinner? No, it's more like, wah! I want this now, Mom! I want this now! And you got the yelling, and you got the crying, and the screaming, and then there you are, and you come back with the same tone, because it's hard to keep your cool. And that's kind of what these people that bring a lot of noise to your life are trying to do to you. They're trying to get a rise out of you. They're trying to get you upset, and they're trying to get you angry, and they're trying to get you off point. Off point for what really matters. And this could be because of they just like the thrill of messing with you. They like the thrill of messing with everybody. They think that they're more important than they are. They have mental imbalances that they work with on a daily basis where they treat everybody kind of like crap. And you know what? If you give in to them, they'll continue to treat you like that. You know, and then you have some people that just want to hear themselves talk. And sometimes that could be all one person wrapped into one thing. All in a nice little wrapper with a little shiny bow that's screaming at you. And I'm sick and tired of dealing with this. And I think you are too, because we all deal with it. When was the last time you had somebody call you that literally 9 o'clock at night? Think about this one. Get home late from work. You're starving. You're tired. Your wife or your husband's making dinner. You got the kids put to bed. Right after y'all finish dinner, you get the kids put to bed. You do the whole bathing. You do all that great stuff for the children. And you're sitting on the couch for just 1 second, and you look into your husband or your wife's eyes, and you go, honey, wow, what a day. You're sitting there on the couch. Good night. What a day. This has been a rough day. And they go, honey, what happened? And right when you're about to talk about it, your phone starts ringing. And half of you is like really angry that you didn't turn it on silence. But now that you've already heard it, you get up and you see it's your boss or it's somebody you work with or it's somebody you know that's a friend of yours. and you make the mistake of answering the phone. You answer that phone and it's like you answered a call from World War III on the front lines. And now all of a sudden you got to take care of something that you never planned on taking care of. And it could be anything. It could be somebody calling you to let them know that they need money. It could be somebody calling you, your boss calling you to let you know that you screwed up on some sort of proposal and that they're very angry and they're calling you in tomorrow to have a meeting. It could be anything. But usually it's actually noise. Usually it's not something that's life or death. Usually it's something that'll keep. It's a casserole. It'll keep, Sheila. Usually it'll keep. However, we answered the call. And it's just like anything else. When you're playing racquetball and the ball comes to your side of the court, bam, you hit it back. Answering that phone is the same thing. Now you're in the game. And it becomes very destructive because by the time you get off that phone, you are now more stressed than you ever were. And now you and your spouse are about to have an argument. Because guess what? They're going to say something that might have nothing to do with what's going on. They could be loving. They could be sweet. They could make a comment or derogatory comment about how you bring your work home too much. Whatever it is that they say is going to cause an argument. At that point in time, now you have World War III at your home. Now the kids are getting up asking if mom and dad's okay and all the stuff's hitting the fan. And now it's already almost 11 o'clock and you got to go to bed and you're going to bed angry. This is what I mean by the noise. I'll give a little personal example that you might actually like because this personal example is something that'll put a lot of perspective. It'll put a lot of perspective into things. Years ago, I helped a friend of mine financially, and I wish I hadn't. I wish to God I hadn't done it, but I did it. And they swore up and down, I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back. And I said, okay, okay. And they even swore on their grandparents' graves. And I said, okay. Anyway, long story short, let's fast forward to the day. And I occasionally get payments from them, but at this rate, it's going to be a while for it to pay off as far as how much I let them borrow. And it's still kind of a sore subject, but not really. I've forgiven it, and I've tried to get past it. I'm happy that they make a small contribution each month, but I mean, it doesn't really even cover my phone bill, but that's fine. But at least they're making a movement toward the right direction. However, I wish I would have never done it. And about 6 months ago, I get a call from one of those people who is they're a noise person. It's not important. It's all about the noise with them. But they come in the guise of somebody that's very important. Because they're very loud and they're very quick and they show up and they're just one of those people that when they're not around, they're not around, but when they're around, they're around. And I ended up getting a text from her saying, hey, have you seen Facebook recently? I said, have I seen Facebook recently? Well, yeah, yeah. I responded back, yes, yes. What about it? She goes, so-and-so is apparently getting engaged to get married. And she was talking about the person that owes me the money. And I said, oh, really? I was like, well, congratulations. That's great. That's great. I'm happy for them. Everybody deserves to have happiness. And her response was, I thought he still owed you a lot of money. And I said, he does. But, you know, everybody deserves to have happiness. And, you know, hopefully down the road, he'll realize what all I've done. And it'll come around and he'll eventually decide to do it right, to do me right. And her next response to that was, check out this link. I want you to see this. It goes to Facebook. It goes to his page. So this is about one of those 9 o'clock text messages. I'd just gotten back from work, been a long day, hadn't felt as successful as I wanted to feel on that particular day. I wanted to be a little more successful. I wanted to feel more successful. And I go to that link and I see this huge diamond ring. I see this absolutely huge diamond ring. It had to have been everything of at least 7 carats. And then I look at the link and I realize this is the guy that owes me money. This is the ring that he gave his fiance. Wow. At 9:15, my head was going to blow off. My head was going to blow off like I don't know, like it's percolating to the point where it's going to hit the moon and come back. I was so irate. My blood was boiling. It was boiling. And I responded back with, oh, my God, is this the ring? And she's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Doesn't he owe you a lot of money? I can't believe he went out and bought it. That looks at least like 7 or 10 carats, don't you think? So right then I picked up the phone and I called her. She doesn't answer. I called again. No response. I called again. Went right directly to voicemail. I text. She doesn't respond. She has ignited a flame at close to 10 o'clock at night that is not going to be put out very easily, and she's nowhere to be found. That's an example of noise. That's an example of not picking that up. It's like somebody hands you the stick of TNT that's already lit and goes, here you go, see you later. But they don't tell you they're going to say see you later. They just keep you hanging. You know, it's like the text messaging where somebody keeps you hanging and it's still got the three dots going there, the three dots on the iPhone. And you go, I guess they're going to respond at some point. No, no, they must have put one letter in that that little box. This is going to keep doing that all night long. So, you know, that is an example of dealing with something that's all about the noise and not about the importance. Had I known that that's the direction that was going, I should have never picked that up. I should have never accepted that. And that's an example of the noise. Because the noise is out there and the noise is dramatic and it's all about the drama. And you got to be careful to take on that drama because it's not going to make you feel successful. It's not going to make you feel good. And it's going to make you feel unhappy. When we return, are we talking about how the people enter your life who are filled with the noise, the way that they kind of enter and exit your life here and there. And then we're also going to talk about how to deal with your order of operations when dealing with the situation. I'm not going to leave you hanging. You know, on Perspectives, always more answers and less questions. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we're talking about understanding the difference between noise and importance and how it really relates to all of our relationships. You know, better yet, how to really see these specific types of people and their issue and put it in the right perspective. You know, in the last few minutes, we've talked about dealing with the loud and noisy and rude people and how we have a tendency of confusing them with what's important. You know, I think that began when we were kids, because the kids that were kind of loud and noisy and rude and screaming, they always got the most attention. We saw that in school. The same thing goes for our children. When your children are at the grocery store or at the store and they want something, they don't sit there and go, pardon me, Dad. Is there any way that we could get this? No, it's more like screaming and crying to get your attention. And it definitely gets your attention. If it's the right attention, I don't know. But it definitely gets your attention. So let's talk about how these types of people enter and exit your life on this type of basis. It's interesting because they are never really around that often. The people that provide a lot of noise in your life, they kind of pounce in and then they kind of jump out. Does that make sense? They pounce in and then they jump out. And they jump out and you go, okay, like you just don't even hear from them. There's a lot of noise, there's a lot of talk, but there's not a lot of business going on. And it's funny because like I was talking about earlier, I was talking about how they will call you, they will harass you, they will text you, they will email you 3 or 4 times in a day, and you haven't heard from them heads or tails in the last year, but they want something now, and they're demanding it right now. And that's a good telltale sign to realize when somebody is just noise-ridden instead of action. And also, I want to talk right now about the concept of you're on the radar now. You're on my radar condition. So the people that bring a lot of noise to your life, it's like you're not around unless you're on their radar. You're not around in their life unless you are on their radar and they put you there because they're thinking about you right now. Otherwise, they don't think about you. They don't think about you at all. It's only when they're thinking about you, then they're like, ding, 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 ring, 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 text, text, ding, 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 emails coming in. And you're like, oh my God, what have I done to deserve this? Well, guess what? You're on their radar. And that's a good sign that you're dealing with somebody that's all about noise. And there's a big difference between noise and importance. There's such a big difference. And you don't want to confuse the two. Because I've had a tendency, and I still have a tendency sometimes, of confusing what's important, what's just noise, and what do I need to step up with and deal with at that point. The next indicator that you're dealing with somebody that's just providing noise and not an important relationship in your life are people that come to you with absolutely no solutions whatsoever. They have no solutions. No solutions. There's a problem that they're going to bring to your attention. So, for example, like that texting where that person owes me money and they were getting engaged, and that person texts me right after I gotten home from a long, long day at work. It's about 9 o'clock at night. And they present to me pictures of the engagement ring of this person that had bought that still owed me the money. And the engagement ring was 7 to 10 carats. The diamond in the middle was 7 to 10 carats. And that's like a kick in the face to you. You know what I mean? When somebody owes you money and you're just like, oh my gosh. If you can afford that, then I don't know what we're doing. However, the person that provided the noise didn't give me any solutions, but only presented me with a problem. It was a problem I really didn't need to see at 9 o'clock at night, though. It's a problem that could have waited till the next day. It's a problem that could have waited. And yes, I'm glad that it was brought to my attention just to see the reality of the situation. However, it still wasn't pleasant. And it wasn't the right time for that. And that's what I'm getting at, is when there's a person that provides a lot of noise in your life, they show up. It's not the right time. It's not the right space for it. It's not any of that. And now you're overwhelmed with dealing with the situation. And you're overwhelmed with it because now you're dealing with something that the person provided no solutions to you, provided no help. And so what I've decided now lately when I'm dealing with people is that I don't like dealing with people that feel like there's nothing you can do mentality. Or I'm just going to show you the drama and then I'm going to walk away. And in that situation, that's what happened, is the showing of the ring and the texting and everything. And check this out. And I thought they owed you money. Sure, they know that this person owed me money. And it's the same type of thing. I mean, think about the last time you were there when somebody emailed you, called you, texted you. It's not the right time. And they basically set you up to get stressed out, unbelievably stressed out. And your ability to sleep well is compromised, because that's just human nature, right? When you get something 2 hours before you go to bed, you're going to think about it. And if it means something to you, or there's actual emotion attached to it, you're going to think about it a lot. And the idea of sleeping is not going to be that easy for you. And your dreams are going to be very interesting. And that's what I'm talking about, is when you know you're dealing with somebody, it's all about the noise, when they present no solution. They present very little solution, if none, with a lot of accusations. So on the flip side, recently I had somebody call me and then email me. And throughout their email, it was very accusatory and most of it wasn't truthful. And I understand that maybe they got their facts from somebody that didn't know their facts. However, you know, checking their facts a couple times is great. And it almost looped me in, though. It almost looped me in to picking up the phone and calling to validate myself. But then I realized I'm already been validated. I can prove that stuff. I can prove that. And half of me kind of wonder, was that their angle of trying to get me on the phone, was to throw out a definite lie and make me get angry to try to preserve my, preserve who I am and my reputation by picking up the phone and calling and being upset? And I said, you know what? And half of me went, you know what? That's exactly what this is. And if it's not, I can still prove the truth. But there's no need for me to get on the phone with a bunch of people in the car trying to get to the airport for a morning flight and talk to them and try to explain my innocence. And I always think that's interesting, because I do feel that, again, people that start off with accusing other people, especially of things that aren't true, that again is another noise. It's like one of those noise machines that aren't allowed in sporting things anymore. You know, those big loud noisemakers. You know those things? It's like they're so irritating. And it's like those air horns, right? The air horn. That's kind of what this person is the air horn. And they'll do anything to get your attention. Right when you turn your back and you're not expecting it, they're going to blow that air horn. You're going to jump right out of that seat and freak out. It's true. You're going to jump right off those bleachers and freak out and go, oh my gosh, what do I have to do? And it sets you in a motion that you don't need to be set into. It sets you down the path that doesn't make any sense for you to be going down. Because it's like that noise like seems to like jumpstart us. And you know, I'll give you a good example of that. When you're at the stoplight and there's two different lanes going the same direction as you, and you and the car next to you are at the light. If the person next to you takes off, you'll usually take off anyway, even if it's still a red light. It's human nature. So if somebody comes in with an air horn and gets your attention, your adrenaline's pumping, your stress level's up, you run to go follow it. When in reality, what should we do? None of it. We identify the air horn, see that person for who they are, acknowledge the fact that they're trying to get our attention any way possible, acknowledge the fact that they're going by it, maybe non-ethically or just irritating, because some people are just irritating. Some people might be ethical, but they're irritating. Other people might want to try to get a rise out of you. Other people are drama queens, and other people would rather see you sweat than succeed. You heard me. Other people would rather see you sweat than you succeed. And those are the people that are the noise. Those are the people that want to ruffle your feathers. Those are the people that want to get under your skin. Those are the people that want to create stress in your life and laugh about it because it's fun for them. On the other flip side, I think that we have to realize that we can't take these people very seriously. I think the more serious we take the issue and the person, the more problematic it becomes in our life. The more problematic it becomes in our life, the more stress we intake. The more stress we intake, the more angry, the more upset, the more violated we feel. And eventually we either put up a wall between you and that person or you come out fighting. Because that's human nature to defend yourself, right? Or to avoid altercation, to avoid it. Some of us would rather avoid it and not deal with it at all because we don't like confrontation. We don't like it at all. We're not confrontation type people. Ever since we were a kid, whether it's you're dealing with angry parents that yelled all the time and fought all the time in the house, you don't want to do a confrontation. You just don't want to do it. And so you'll avoid it. You'll break down. You'll silence. You'll close off. You'll cut it off. You'll turn the lights down and you won't answer. Or the opposite. You're in it to win it. You're going to fight to the death on this deal. And you're going to fight with them and you're going to fight with them and you're going to stress out and you're going to get angry and your blood pressure is going to go up and you're going to take that out on the kids and the family later on throughout the week because of this person's noise. And that's why I wanted to do this show tonight. Because, you know, in the beginning of any week, when we're dealing with things like this and we're going through processes, whether it's a Sunday, a Monday, a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, or a Saturday, no matter what day of the week it is, it's a day that you can't get back. When you deal with people like this and their issues, they're robbing you. They're robbing you of your happiness if you allow them to. They're robbing you of your mind time. They're robbing you of your heart and soul. And they do this because they want something. They do this because they're used to it. And some of them are just children that never grew up, that have always gotten attention this way. And everybody has always just, you know, bowed down to them, kissed their feet, actually. But you don't have to. You don't have to bow down to this anymore because guess what? You figured it out. So you know right now what the situation is and how to deal with it. And so when we return, what I'm going to supply you with is the Burgess operations, the order of operations that we deal with these particular situations. Because there has to be an order of operations because in order to see these things coming and to deal with them effectively, we got to actually have an order of operations that we live by and know, okay, this feels the same. This looks the same. This has got to be the same. And we roll it out from there. And so I'm going to provide that here in the next segment. And in the meantime, start thinking about those people in your life that seem to add to the noise, that don't seem to add to the peace and quiet, that don't seem to add to the love and the happiness, that seem to just add to your stress level. And sometimes it's better just to get it over with. But you got to put it in perspective and you got to see it for what it is and know the kind of person and the type of situation and the issue that you're dealing with. Stay tuned when we return. I'm going to be talking about those orders of operation and perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, we've been talking about understanding the difference between noise and importance and how they relate to all areas and all relationships of your life. But better yet, how to actually identify these specific types of people and their specific issues and put it all into perspective. You know, we've been talking about how a lot of times they're loud, they're noisy, they come on in a hustle, they're fast, they pounce, and then they fly out. And you know, it's interesting because I think all this began with how when we were kids, how people get attention. Or when we were kids, how we would get attention from our family. And based upon that, when people do that to us in our grown life, we have a tendency of falling for it hook, line, and sinker, creating stress and drama and unhappiness and ill will and chaotic thoughts in our mind. Because we pick up the baton and we go with it, even though we never needed to pick up the baton, and that person really never deserved to be in our headspace, okay? Because we have to put it in perspective. But however, when we allow them in, we've allowed them in. And if we don't put it into perspective, we lose out. We lose out on our happiness. We lose out on our quality of life. You know, it's about who the person who's never around, who suddenly shows up and is all in your business. You know, calling, texting, and emailing, because guess what? You're on their radar now. Those type of people, again, are noisemakers. They're not, it's not about the business. It's not about importance. It's about noisemakers because they want your attention. Had it been important before, they would have called you. They would have reached out before in a normal, non-OCD manner, okay? When somebody berates you and basically takes over your phone and your email and texting, that's a problem. That's a problem because you know what? They're wanting your attention and they're doing everything they can to get it. And if you don't want to give them your attention, you got to figure out what to do. But that can be easier said than done because when you're being inundated with calls and texts and emails, it's a problem. You got to either nip it in the bud or figure out how to deal with it. Also, that person that shows up with no solutions but only problems. This is a big noise, okay? A big difference between noise and important people in your life. Because they can't seem to bring anything to the table. Because it's always about lesser. It's always about drama. It's always about some sort of problem and never an optimal solution. And a lot of times there's also argumentation within their emails or within their calls and their general attitude is a little off. You can feel it. You can feel it from them. And so that kind of puts you in a tailspin. Doesn't make you feel great about this. And so you start stressing out about it too, getting to their level. And we have to remember to always stay at our level, never to sink, never to lower ourselves, but to stay honest and forthright. So let's talk now about the order of operations for dealing with these specific situations. Because in anything in life, you need an order of operations to be able to deal with it, to be able to acknowledge it, to recognize it, and to move on. Okay, the first thing that we can do is to recognize and understand, especially when somebody comes on suddenly trying to contact you, realize when you're now on their radar, realize when it feels like the all ADD hour, okay? Recognize when somebody's in it for that minute. Because I'll tell you one thing, when somebody's jumping into your airspace randomly and they're doing it and they're peppering your email and your phone and your text, that's an indicator that this person's trying to manipulate your time, but also on top of that, that they are a noise provider. They're a drama provider and you don't need that. And I've even had family members, one in particular, we won't go into exactly who because it's a close family member of mine, who has ADD pretty bad. And when they're not thinking about me, they're not thinking about me. But when they are, they will call and call and call and call. And they won't stop. They won't stop because they want me at their beck and call. They want to make that call right now. And I pick up the phone. There's no questions asked. Ashley's going to be on the other line no matter when I decide to think about her. No matter when I decide to think about her, she's going to be on that phone call. And that's another part of the noise and the drama is that you're going to find that a lot of these people that want to give you noise, a lot of these people that want to create drama in your life are coming from that standpoint, okay? Where they want you now. They have time to talk to you now. You need to drop everything because they have time for you now, okay? No, no, you're not going to drop everything. Just because they have time for you on this minute of this day, they could have called you 2 weeks ago, okay? No, they didn't. So you don't have to drop everything. And depending on how important it is to you and how much you want to deal with it, put it in perspective. Because some of this stuff doesn't need any time. Some of this stuff needs a plan. But definitely watch how much headspace you're giving it. How much real estate in your head are you giving this noise? If it's a family member, if it's a friend, if it's a coworker, if it's your boss, how much of your brain real estate are you giving to them freely over whatever issue and noise this is? You know, the second thing to realize is, why do you feel like you have to deal with it on their time? Why do you feel, because a lot of times that's where we have a problem, is instead of dealing with it at the proper time, they call, we jump, we feel like we have to deal with it right now. But that's really not the case, is it? It's really not the case. Unless you're one of those people that just want to get it done, pull the Band-Aid off, figure out what's going on, not take crap from nobody, and jump in it, then there you go. Kudos to you. However, if it's somebody that's calling you at that minute, that's on the ADD hour, that you are now on their radar, you are now on their windshield, you got to sit there and think, why is it that you feel like you have to be on their time? Why? And I think that's an important lesson for all of us to learn, because a lot of times we give people a lot more of our energy and time than we need to give them, and we jump at their beck and call. And when was the last time they did anything for you? And that's what you need to be equivalent about. And I'm not trying to be a jerk about it, but seriously, how close are you? What have you done for them? What have they done for you? Are you friends? Are you not? And that should prescribe the fact if you should jump or not. That should prescribe the fact if you should feel bad about not returning their call or not. And what time and what due diligence do you want to have? Last but not least, if you got one of those people that's a negative Nancy that's constantly gives you all the problems and no solutions, ask them for a solution to the current problem. Ask them for a solution to the current problem. Ask them. And you know what? If they can't come up with one, you design one. You come up with a solution, and if it's still not good for them, you present the solution to them, present it to them. If they still don't like it and it's still not good, you have to decide what you want to do about it. You have to decide if you want to stick in this or you don't. Okay? Because if they don't like your solution and they're not willing to present one on their own, then you got stalemate and you got problems. Because to me, it sounds like they want you to cow down. They want you to just accept whatever they're going to give you, and you're going to accept that, and you're going to be, you should be happy about it. And I think in that situation, you have to sit there and analyze, is this a situation I want to even be involved with? Does this even make sense to me? Does this even make sense to my timeline? Does this make sense to be involved with my life? Or is this just stealing from me? Is this stealing from me, stealing from my happiness, stealing from my time, and contributing to me being or feeling a bit unhappy? And I think that when somebody's unable to come up with a solution and they carry over problems to you, and this could happen to you with some of your closest friends where they might be having a difficult life, and sometimes life can be difficult, and I think you've had a difficult life before too. But when they try to literally hand you over their difficult life and you go, man, I don't know what to do. Financially, I'm not in a place to give you any money, okay? Mentally and emotionally, I can be there as much as I can, but you got to come up with a formula. You got to come up with a solution for you. And I think a lot of us find ourselves in that position where we're dealing with family and friends, okay? Because we want to be everything to everybody. We want to be liked by everybody. We're people pleasers. We're human beings. That's what we do. But we have to put a time limit, and we have to put a wall down between being a people pleaser and being happy in our own life. And also being able to recognize what we can and can't do. And so sometimes when people come to you with their problems, making it your problem, you got to step up to the plate and realize, okay, this isn't my problem, and they need to come up with a solution. If they can't come up with one, I will help them embark and illuminate a solution, and I'll offer that solution to them. But still, if that's not good for them and they don't like that, and even if we tweak it, they're not happy with that solution, then you have to decide what you want to do, because to me, that seems like a no-win situation. Right now, you're in a situation where somebody doesn't have the solution. They've just presented you a problem, and they want you to stew on it. And that's not what life's about. Life is about problem, solution, and then you deciding what problems you're not going to figure out and what problems you don't want to deal with in your life. And that goes back to the noise. What is noise, and what's important in your life, and what's the difference? And I think at this point in time in the show, you realize there are certain relationships in your life that are important and certain that are just noisemakers. And those noisemakers don't add to our quality of life at all, do they? They take from our quality of life. They take from our timing. They take from our happiness. They take from our time with our family and our friends that actually provide happiness or allow us to feel good and to be ourselves. You know, on the flip side, too, we have to realize who is making noise. Why are they making noise? Are you wanting to still deal with it? Or do you need to cut bait? And sometimes in life, when people are making a lot of noise, that's a good indicator that you might need to cut that relationship and those ties. Maybe bring it to the forefront. Let them see what you recognize. Explain it to them. And then decide, do you still want to be involved with this? Because you know what? You don't have to be involved with everybody and everything. And you don't have to make everybody's life right for them. Because they got to do it for themselves. If they don't do it for themselves, then, you know, you got to sit there and think, why aren't they doing it for themselves? But if this issue involves you and them, then you got to come up with a solution and you got to come up with some sort of agreement. But the last thing you want to do is being bullied by the phone, bullied by the email, bullied by the text, and making you push the envelope for something you don't want to do or dealing with allegations that you don't agree with. And I think at that point in time, you have to sit there and set the story straight, set the line and the resolution straight and put the line in the sand. But also gain perspective and also see, where do you stand in this? Where do you want to stand in this? And what makes sense? So the next time that you feel that somebody's becoming overbearing, that somebody's jumped into your life, doesn't seem to know where exactly, they seem to come on strong, the same people will leave in a matter of a second. The people that don't offer a solution and the people that are normally loud and noisy and rude to get your attention, realize that these are the noisemakers. And you have to determine how you want to deal with it. But you have to also remember, with these people, the last thing you want to do is give them a lot of your space in your brain. The last thing you want them to have is a lot of real estate. And the last thing you want to deal with is a lot of stress over there. Stress over the situation. So you want to get it done and move on, or you just want to cut bait? Stay tuned. I got a great show for you next. And you know what? On Perspectives, we always have more answers and less questions. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in three shakes.
You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. In the first hour, we've been talking about moving past the noise. Moving past that noise and recognizing the difference between the noise and the important situations and people who are actually in our life. And you know, it's interesting, when we're able to move past that noise and recognize the noise for what it is, we're able to put it in its place, we're able to react or to not react, and we're also able to put the proper time and power into dealing with that situation. You know, once we're able to do this, we're able to see lots of different things in our life. We're able to ponder opportunity, and we're able to begin to realize how to recognize it. When it's not opportunity, when it is, no matter how it's clothed, how it's masked, or how it's painted. You know, it's interesting because when we're dealing with noise in our life and drama, you know, the noise is a good word for drama. When we're dealing with that kind of stuff in our life that doesn't mean a lot, but it seems to have a lot of power over us. We seem to get a little stressed out by it. When certain people call us, we get overwhelmed, we get stressed out, we don't know how to deal with it. Instead of dealing with it, we don't want to deal with confrontation, so we kind of run from it, but it still stays in our mind, and it claims this energy, and it takes up some of the real estate in our heads, right? I mean, when was the last time you had somebody that kind of brought some noise to your life, brought some drama to your life, and you didn't really want to deal with it because you didn't really want to deal with it? It wasn't something you wanted to deal with, and so you kind of avoided it. You kind of tried to sweep it under the rug, but yet it didn't go away. And so it ended up taking up this estate, this real estate in your brain, and you end up having this emotional feeling about it, even when you're not directly dealing with it. On the other half, if you dealt with the confrontation, you might have dealt with that. That could have stressed you out. That could have put you in a certain, I don't know, a certain thought process, maybe stressed you out a bit. And all in all, it creates this noise around us where we're not able to hear things or see things clearly. And that's why I want to take our second hour tonight to really focus on a part of life that we sometimes miss, and that's opportunity. And when we're being surrounded by noise and we're being surrounded by drama, we have a tendency to overlooking true opportunity. What is true opportunity? What is it? Even when it's shrouded, even when it's clothed, even when it's masked. Because, you know, opportunity is a thing where nobody's going to sit there and say, hey, got a pot of gold over here. It's just right there. You see it? You see it? Go check it out. That's it. That's your opportunity. Yes, a lot of opportunity is a pot of gold, but it doesn't look like a pot of gold in the beginning. Sometimes it may look like a headache. Sometimes it may look, I don't know, like it's not really an opportunity, but sometimes it might, but we have all this around us that's bringing us down and taking us off of our true path. So when we're talking about opportunity, I want to first begin our conversation tonight on opportunity about what really is opportunity. And so I thought the best thing to do would be go online right now. So let me go online real quick. Okay, here we go. And I am going to look up what opportunity is and what it means. Okay, opportunity is defined as a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. You heard me here. A profound definition of opportunity means it is defined as a set of circumstances that makes it possible to do something. Okay, with that said, I know that's really broad strokes. Broad strokes. How do we recognize opportunity with these kinds of broad strokes? And I get that this is a great topic because they do define opportunity in such broad strokes. And so I think we have to first begin discussing opportunity in the sense that it's not going to be perfect. And I think this is where some of us fall short when we're dealing with opportunities, because we don't recognize it because it's not perfect. But then what is really? I mean, there's not a human being in this world that's perfect. So if there's not a person in this world that's perfect, how can an opportunity actually be perfect? And so when we're thinking about this, that it won't be perfect, I think this is an awesome kind of definition, is that there'll be a lot of great ideas and great opportunities, and they'll be thought out, but they're not going to be perfect. You know, they're not going to ever be totally perfect. But they're going to be firm, they're going to be imperfect, but at the same time, just because something isn't perfect doesn't mean it's not an opportunity. And there's some big ideas out there that are awesome. And there's some great ideas and some great opportunity, but they might need some tweaking. It might need some changes. Because ideas start and then kind of change and morph into not just ideas anymore, but a plan. And these plans turn into an event, an opportunity. And a lot of times, these great opportunities are overlooked because we're looking for the perfect parachute. We're looking for the perfect opportunity where there is no perfect opportunity. You know, I think it's interesting. I've been working on a project outside of my radio life. It's close to it, but it's outside of the radio world. And I have a team of four people that I'm working with. And we all kind of came together, and everybody has their niche. Everybody has something that they're good at. Everybody has something that they're better at than anybody else's. And so that's awesome. So nobody's stepping on each other's toes. Nobody's over there saying, I'm the talent, I'm the talent. Nobody's over there saying, I'm the producer. Everybody's got their spot. Everybody has their role. And they do their role amazingly. However, in the beginning of this idea, I remember I had this idea and I was brainstorming and it came to me, and I was actually at like a dinner meeting and it came to me and it was like, oh, like, poof. And I was like, whoa. And I called one of my friends later on that evening and they were there in the meeting, and I said, this is my idea. And they went, oh my gosh, it's a great idea. And about 3 days later, we came up with the concept and everything. And then we ended up meeting other people, and it all was kind of coming together as it should. However, in the beginning, I didn't know how all this was going to come in together, but I didn't want to question it. And as we brought in different key players, you know, everybody kind of comes to the table with various issues and things because we're human. We're not perfect. And the cool thing is that a great opportunity has its imperfection. And when we're able to recognize that imperfection and see it not as something that's going to jeopardize us, but something that might actually help us, it allows us to see the opportunity as it is. You know, I think that this also has another side. sometimes when we have opportunity, and let's say that you happen to have an idea and a concept and you've been working with it and you have yourself or you have a team and you're pitching it or you're trying to get investment or opportunity like that, and you'll have people that say, yeah, I'm not interested. And you'll have some people that say, yeah, I am interested. And you'll have some people say, hey, let me give you a little piece of advice. And a lot of times in that situation, it might not feel like a perfect situation. But on the other hand, that piece of advice, that critical and crucial moment could catapult you to finding the opportunity. And a lot of times we have to keep our ears open because in the sense of opportunity, it's not always cut and dry. It's not always like, ding, 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 ding. Ashley, there's an opportunity right over here on aisle 45. Come on over here. It's your golden ticket. No. Sometimes it's shrouded. It doesn't have the word opportunity and neon over its head, over its opportunity body. Instead, it might even seem like it's in the form of like, I don't know. It's like, I don't know if this is going to happen, but there's always something about it that makes you feel good. And so besides the concept of the imperfection, I think the second thing, the second objective, the second signpost, really, the second signpost, yes, that's the word. The second signpost that, yes, indeed, there is an opportunity here, is that it carries its own unique momentum. And what I mean by that is it has its own energy. It has its own momentum. It has its own push. It continues to go. It doesn't grind to a screeching halt. It just keeps on going. And it seems like as you keep continuing to work with this opportunity, in air quotes, the momentum keeps continuing and people start to feel the vibe. And the people that are involved become more and more interested in being involved. And the people that you pitch it to or talk with are very interested as well. And so you have less of the I'm not interested to more of the, well, let's say this was successful. How would this look? And I think that's interesting too, because when things have their own unique momentum, when they have their own unique momentum, it's just kind of interesting to see how things flow. And it's like it has a life of its own. It's like it comes to life, like the opportunity, like the plan that you have, the great idea comes to life. It's like it's its own person. It's got its own energy. It's like when you walk into a meeting with this opportunity, it's like you're walking in a meeting with one other person with you. Because the idea has enough momentum and energy that it's like another person. And it's interesting because I've read a lot of Carnegie books and I've read a lot of different things that are very interesting books about masterminding. And about how if you have a mastermind, you have a group more than three, that you can create a lot of major, amazing things. And I believe that to be true because if everybody's on the same page and everybody believes in the project, then therefore it will come true at some point if everybody's successful and honest about carrying forth. And I think it's interesting because when it develops this momentum, this idea, this plan, it has its own energy. It has its own pulse. And it's like we all kind of champion and we all kind of stay on that same pulse. Like we're all in that same movement, that same thought process. And it has its own brain, its own eyes. And it's like it's amazing. You've created something that has come to life. So stay tuned. When I return, I'm going to give you some more indications on when something is really an opportunity because you're now able to recognize it. Because since the first hour, you've been working to, what? Get rid of that noise in your life. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. We're talking tonight about recognizing opportunity. How to recognize opportunity, because, you know, opportunity doesn't stare you in the face and go, yes, hey. Yes, Ashley, I'm opportunity. Oh, yeah, right here, opportunity. Good old opportunity right here, just waiting on you. No. A lot of times it doesn't seem necessarily in the beginning like opportunity. And sometimes it can, but we have to eliminate that noise from our life. We have to eliminate that drama. We have to focus on what matters. And so in the first hour, we talked about how to deal with that noise, how to move past it, how to give it less energy, less power, and how to put it in its place. But now we're talking about opportunity. and how to sense opportunity and how to recognize it. And we talked about how opportunity won't be perfect in the beginning, and it never will be perfect. There's no perfect plan. There's no perfect idea. There's no perfect person. And so with that in mind, we can kind of go past that and realize that the plan and the opportunity idea is not going to be perfect, but it's going to be an opportunity. A second indication, and a major indication, that this type of plan and idea is an opportunity is that it carries its own unique momentum. It has its own momentum. It has its own energy. It moves. It goes. It's almost like having another person at the meeting with you, and that other person is the plan. The other person is the idea. And it produces its own energy. It's interesting how that is, because when you have an awesome idea, it has energy, it has spark, it has momentum, it produces power, and it doesn't get stale. You know, I've had ideas before where you think about it for a while, and you think about it for a while, and you think about it for a while, and it's great and all, but then eventually it kind of gets stale, it doesn't get that interesting, and it kind of just loses steam. And it's interesting how when something has great momentum, it has a life of its own, it's got the energy, you have effort, you put effort into it because you feel it, and by doing that with the momentum and your energy, there's engagement. And it's interesting, you don't seem to lose that engagement with something that has its own power source, you might say. Something with its own momentum. Something with its own energy generation, where it feels like you know that it's been, it generates its own energy. It just seems like it's just, this works. This feels right. You know, the next thing about this, besides that it produces energy and it has momentum, is that in order for something to be an opportunity, it has to fit your core values. It's got to fit your core values. That's it. If something doesn't fit with your core values, you can't do it. It's a contradiction of terms. You can't do it, because think about it. If you believe a certain way in your life and you live a certain way and it's important to you, and you believe in certain values and you believe in certain things, well, you can't go against your values, because that would be antithetical to your values. In that situation, you'd either have to change your values or not take the opportunity. And a lot of times in life, it's a lot easier to say no to a plan or a opportunity than it is to change your values. And so with that in mind, we have to look at our values and say, is this intertwined with our highest values and about the way we feel? And if so, and if you feel that to be the case, and you feel that to be true, then I believe we have something. I believe we have something in that point, because we can actually go from there and see it and believe in its legitimacy based on the fact that it fits your core values. You can grow with it. It fits you. And it's probably also going to fit other people that you know, or it's going to fit other people in a way that you can actually explain the opportunity in a way that other people will understand, and also people that are like-minded. And it's interesting, being that I'm a life coach and a therapist, a lot of times people come in my office and say, well, you know, my life's not working, things are falling apart. I got this going on, and I got this going on. And I'll be like, well, why do you think it's falling apart? They're like, I don't know. I don't know, maybe some sort of bad karma or something. I don't really know, Ashley. You got to heal me. Come on and heal me, Ashley. Heal me. And I'll say, okay, well, let's sit down and figure out what's going on. And it normally goes back to the fact that they have certain values, whether they created it or it was instilled in them in a young child at a young age, or they created these values, and they're going antithetical. They're living antithetical to those values. For example, I've had clients come in and say, you know, I'm married, I got kids, and I've had a girlfriend, you know, for some time, and she gets me, but I don't understand what I'm supposed to do. I don't understand what's not working. And we'll get to the point where we get back into their psyche, into their emotional level, and it's honestly worthwhile to realize that they don't want to have an affair. They don't believe in an affair, and they look down upon people who have affairs. But yet they're having an affair, and they don't know why their life's not working out. Well, you kind of set yourself up for failure. You believe and you value the fact that you shouldn't cheat, but yet you're cheating, and then you wonder why things don't seem to be working out. Well, you know what? A lot of it's based on your own headset. A lot of it's based on your own mind. Because if you value marriage, and you have a girlfriend, and you're married, and this goes for women too, I'm not just pointing out to the men, this is for women and men both, you're going to be sabotaging yourself subconsciously to some degree to make things not work out or to make yourself unhappy because you feel guilty about what you're doing because at your core, at your value, you don't believe that to be good. And so what I'm saying in the extrapolation of this with an opportunity is to realize there are certain things that are opportunities because they go along with your values. There's certain things that you got to leave alone. Because it could be an opportunity, but it's not based for you because your values are different. And you have to accept that and allow that particular opportunity to move on. And that's what's so important. When we're dealing with core values, it puts a lot of things in perspective. And once we're able to actually look at our core values, and I think in a lot of times in life, we have to sit there and take a tally and run down and a roll call on what do we value the most? What's the most important? What do we stand for? What do we not stand for? And what will we not ever want to deal with? And once you understand that, you got it made. Because then you don't have to worry about noise that comes at you that has nothing to do with you. I've had plenty of opportunities come to me lately that I've tried to take that go antithetical to my values and they don't work for me. And guess what? It doesn't work. And I don't give it my heart. I don't give it my soul. I don't work at it hardly. I just kind of, It's like going to the pool and putting your toes in the pool and running back out and going, well, you know, it was cold. And there's a lot of opportunities like that, but you know what? It's not an opportunity for you. And so don't sell yourself short by jumping on a ship of something that doesn't carry your values and that you're going to instinctively run from. When we return, we're going to be talking about more other options of how to deal with something and how to understand that's an opportunity. And also, again, how to deal with the noise and how to push that out of the way and help you to find opportunity when opportunity's knocking. Stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. Be back this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we've been talking about how to recognize opportunity. Once we're able to move that noise out of our life, it's now time to see the opportunity for the fruits of our labor. It's all milk and honey now. Right before the break, I was talking about how an opportunity has its own unique momentum. It produces its own energy. It fits your core values. An opportunity for you cannot be an opportunity for you if it doesn't align with your values. And this is important to remember. Because a lot of times when we think about opportunities, we think about money. And we think about how we just need to make more money, and we need to do more things, and we need to get out there more. But a lot of times we need to realize that it has to engage our values. We have to see it aligning with our values. If not, what do we have? If not, if we get this opportunity, we're only going to feel guilty. If we get this opportunity, we're always going to wonder. And in reality, what we have to do is align our values and say, okay, this is good. This isn't going to work. And I recently had somebody come to me about an opportunity a few months ago, and they were so engaged in it and everything, but I just didn't feel it. But I kind of got pushed into it. And I know that a lot of people listening tonight understand where I'm coming from. When you've been pushed into something and you knew that you could leave at any time and you kind of felt like you were kind of getting bullied, but you're like, well, maybe this is a good opportunity for me. Maybe I'm just not seeing the silver lining. Well, you know in your gut that it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that you're making a mistake. You shouldn't be in there in the first place. It's not going to work for you, and it's going to turn out to be a total farce. And this is what happened. I ended up spending some money on something, and it all fell apart because it wasn't in my values, and it didn't align with me. And people can promise you a lot of things, but if you don't feel it, and it doesn't rhyme with you, it doesn't feel with you, you don't feel part of it, then you got to move on. The next identification that something is an opportunity and that you might need to seize the opportunity is that when people are legitimately talking about an opportunity, they discuss it and they engage in it in a very legitimate, honest, thoughtful, true way. And what I mean by this is that you always hear a lot of friends and family and coworkers talk about a great idea. They talk about a plan, they talk about a great idea, but they always talk about how great it is. How everything's going to be awesome. How it's all milk and honey, there's no problems here, there's no issues. There's nothing, man. We got it from here to there. This is going to be awesome. But I think that if you're really engaged in a true opportunity, you have to actually look at why it won't work. Why won't it work? What are some of the things and some of the situations that we're going to have to get around, that we're going to need to maneuver, really, when it comes to stepping up to the plate and making this opportunity, making this plan, making this idea a reality? Think about it. And I think that's another indicator to know that you are amongst something that may be an absolute opportunity for you. Because if you're engaging with people and having a meaningful conversation, not just based about how great the idea is, how nobody's thought about it, and how this is like the best thing since sliced bread, because on that account, that's normally stuff that gets talked about. It doesn't happen. You might talk about it again and again and again. And you start thinking, man, this is a real waste of my time. And I think also legitimate talk means, where are you talking about this at? And I think that's important too, because I think that you can have meetings outside of the office, outside of Skype. But I think there comes a time to really look at it and say, yes, it's okay to meet at a restaurant to discuss a pitch or to do something. But I think if you're just constantly talking about these goals and these ideas in a bar, you might want to think about it. And that's another indication too, is that if you're looking at opportunity and somebody's bringing you opportunity, it might not be dressed in the sport coat, but is there an opportunity or is it just talk? And I think it's a big deal because opportunity is a basis of what's going to work, what's not going to work. As I said earlier, it's never going to be perfect. There's always things and always roadblocks that we got to get around. Might have to take the side road, might have to take the back road, might have to take the service road there. But in reality, when we're discussing it in a legitimate way, we're able to understand it from every side. We're able to see every direction and see the problems before they happen, being able to discuss it and figure out how to rectify those problems, how to overcome those problems, or how to deviate from that altogether. You know, another two options I want to talk about too, to really let you know, to indicate that yes, indeed, you're in the proximity of a possible opportunity that might change your life. When you're in the midst of a possible opportunity, one way to really know if this is a real opportunity is that you've got to feel it. You've got to feel it. You've got to feel it. You've got to see it. And you've got to feel really, really good about it. You've got to feel really, really good about it. Where you're just like, wow, And you've got to be able to visualize the painting. You got to actually see the plan, see it fall into a plan, see it fall up into a plan. You know, and one of the ideas that I was thinking about the other day, because when we talk about values and we talk about the way things are and if we can feel or not, a good example of this is when somebody comes at you with an opportunity that seems too good to be true, a get-rich-quick type deal. For the most part, a lot of times those aren't real. They're not honest. But let's just say even if it was, even if you could get rich quick in a specific deal, you would have to believe that, because otherwise, for the most part, when I think about my values sometimes, I see my values as hard work equals a payoff. And when I see as hard work equals a payoff, even if somebody came to me with the greatest idea next to sliced bread, next to white rice, they came up with a great idea that was like about getting rich quick, I would probably look at that and be like, eh, I don't know. And I know that for the most part, there's not any get rich quick ideas. There may be, but for the most part, there's not. And so we have to really think about our values, but we have to be able to see the idea, see the concept, feel the concept, run with the concept, because that's what truly matters when we're dealing with these types of things. That's what truly matters to decide if this is an opportunity for you or if this may be an opportunity for someone else. And I think that's interesting too, because a lot of times we want to stop on everything. We want to go, okay, yes, 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 because we don't want to lose out on anything. And then some of us are the opposite. We say no, 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 no to everything, because we want everything to be perfect, and not everything's going to be perfect, or we're too scared because of our past problems. We've fallen down by the wayside a couple of times, our faults, or, you know, basically what we feel we failed at, and we let our past failures, and I don't like the word failure, we let our past, didn't work so well opportunities get in the way of making a decision now. And I think we have those two extremes a lot of times in life, is we have people that want to accept and say yes to everything, and you have people that want to say no to everything. So we have to sit there and think. And the reason why I did this show tonight, the reason why I did the show about noise and taking and getting rid of that noise and being able to see the noise for what it is and being able to take that out and look at it and being able to observe it and indicate exactly what's noise, what's stressors, what are dramas in your life, and how do you get past that? But also about the opportunities, I see a lot of my clients and I see a lot of my friends stuck. They're stuck in the yes pattern or they're stuck in the no pattern. The yes pattern is, okay, I'm going to say yes to everything and probably do nothing, or say yes to everything, get burned out, fall apart, get stressed out, let it go, or say yes to the wrong things and constantly feel like life's, you know, dealing us a bad cards constantly. It seems like karma's always getting us. We don't think that we've done anything wrong. We're always treating people with respect, but it seems like we don't ever get the right opportunity. On the flip side, you have a lot of people that judge themselves by their faults, by the things in the past that didn't go right. And so in that situation, people have a tendency of doing what? They have a tendency of saying no all the time because they're scared. Because if they say yes and they feel like they screw up again, what are they going to do next? And I think sometimes people get scared to say yes because they don't want to have something fail. And I don't like the word fail, and I don't like failure, because I just feel that if you actually try to do something, you never failed anything. However, yes, we can lose out on monetary. We can lose out on our time. And that can feel like a weakening experience, but it could also help us identify opportunity in the future. What makes sense? What's the next step? Where do I go from here? And so when we return, I'm going to give you a few other keys to what opportunity is to maybe help you if you are a yes, yes, yes person or a no, 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 how to deal with that, how to understand it, and how to absolutely, hands down, be able to recognize when something is an opportunity for you. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. You could be my luck.
Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight we're talking about recognizing opportunity. How to legitimately recognize opportunity. How to know when something, a plan, an idea is opportunity for you, and how to really know that. Because a lot of times in our life, we don't really know that necessarily. We don't understand how to recognize that. That's why there's a lot of yes, yes, yes people and a lot of no, no, no people out there. Because yes, people want to try to get an opportunity because they don't want anything to pass them by. They're like, gosh, something's got to give. And a lot of times the yes, yes, yes people, and I've been in that position, find themselves in a position they're not happy with. Because unfortunately, saying yes to everything wasn't the right plan. Gosh, I've been there before. And I think a lot of times we do that because we just don't want life passing us by. We want to have the opportunities. We want to get something. We want to catch that big fish. And it means a lot. But in the process, we get burned because we accept things that we shouldn't accept. We don't say no. And we don't really think about what it means to have an opportunity. On the flip side, we have everybody that's the no-no-knowers. And you out there know who you are. And the reason why you're a no-no-knower is because you've been burned in the past. You feel like you've failed in the past and you're scared. You don't want to have anything get in the way, anything jeopardize you. And sometimes it's just easier to say no when you just get in the mode and in the mood of saying it. And sometimes, you know, when you say yes to everything, you miss an opportunity because you're too busy over there in a place that you don't need to be at. And on the flip side, when you say no all the time, you can miss an excellent opportunity because you said no. Because you want everything to be perfect. And there is no perfection. There is none. And I think a lot of times when people say yes all the time, they don't really think. They just think, okay, opportunity, yes, I'm in. But they don't really think about the logistics. For example, if you say yes all the time, a lot of times you don't really think about, does the plan have its own momentum? Does the idea of the plan have energy? Is this opportunity, does it have energy? Does it have momentum? Does it fit your core values? You don't go through a checklist. You just say yes. Because you go, I don't want to miss anything. I don't want the train to go by and I'm stuck out here and I don't jump on. For all you naysayers out there, you know who I'm talking about. You don't listen about the plan. Say no. It's easier that way. And a lot of times I think for that situation, you have to look at different things. You're a little more skeptical. And so the idea of having an opportunity where people are discussing and engaging it in a legitimate manner, meaning they're not just talking about all the peaches and the roses and the dandelions and how beautiful life is. They're actually talking about why the plan might not work and how to go around certain roadblocks that might actually come about. They're talking about an offensive structure, a defensive structure, and how to deal with it, not just one-sided. You don't play a football game with just ones. You don't have just the offense or just the defense. You got to think about strategy. You got to think about what the other teams have better than you. You got to think about your strengths and about your weaknesses. And anytime I've gone into an opportunity that works, I've met with people and we've sat down and we've structured out what are your honest strengths? What are your honest weaknesses? What do I need to know? What do you need to know? And let's go from there. Like I was saying in the beginning of the show, I have a team and we're working on a project right now. And all of us come to the table with something that we do better than anybody else in the world. And all of us come to the table with strengths that the other ones don't have necessarily, with weaknesses that the others don't have. We all kind of feel each other's gaps. We all help each other because we all have these strengths that others don't, and vice versa. And so if we were to sit there and look at our weaknesses individually or as a collective, we might get down. We might start questioning if this is a great opportunity. But instead, we've seen our weaknesses, we've discussed our weaknesses, and we figured out how to go around our weaknesses. What we need to do to enable ourselves to still do the plan and still create the opportunity amongst the weaknesses. and how to offset those weaknesses. Instead of like trying to hide the weaknesses, we actually go for it. We go the distance. You know, the thing about that is that it's interesting when we are yes, 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 or no, no, no people. It's all based upon a lot of our past. About what happened in our past, how successful we see ourselves, and the kind of opportunities that we've been offered or not offered. And I think another big deal about it is that it has to be a real opportunity. It can't be a pie in the sky opportunity. Can't be telling you you're going to have all this riches and fame and not have to work for it. I believe that hard work and determination will always help you. Whether or not some people seem to be successful even without having as much hard work, that's to be determined. But I think that for the most part, we dedicate our time and energy to something that we believe in. Better yet, that we feel and believe in, and we see it. And we feel darn good about it. Those are the opportunities. Those are the opportunities that you want to seize. When the energy is produced, when there's momentum, that momentum is important. When it's not perfect, but you see the imperfections and you deal with it and you talk about it and you have this legitimate conversation and you can feel it and you can see it and you can hear it and you can see images and you can see yourself in the opportunity, fulfilling obligations, making it work, believing in it. And I think these are the keys to seeing what an opportunity is. One of the last keys that identify opportunity as best is timing. And timing's crucial. How many times have you heard someone say, man, God, I just wish I would have invested in that. Had I just invested in that, had I just done that, my whole life would have been different. I've said that before. And it hurts. I've said that about everything from business deals to stock to artwork. And if I just would have bought that piece of artwork, oh God, that piece that I loved, that I sat there. I remember there was a piece of artwork that I just loved. I loved it. And my husband and I had just gotten married. We had been married for about 6 months. And he was on a business trip and I got to meet him and I saw this piece of artwork and I absolutely loved it. And this has happened on several occasions. And I remember looking at the piece of artwork and I go, oh my God, that's amazing. And I looked at the price tag and at the time, and still now, I mean, that was some money there. I mean, it's changed a little bit. I mean, when you're first married, come on. It's hard. And even it's hard even when you've been married for a while. But I remember about a year and a half later, it might have been a little longer than a year and a half, might have been 2 years. And one night, I turn on the TV, and it might have been Inside Edition or something like that, and they had Courtney Cox Arquette on there, and they had, you know, anyway. And I remember seeing her and her husband, and they were talking about this piece of artwork that they had bought, and they had bought that piece. They had bought that piece and they had talked all their Hollywood friends into buying these pieces of artwork from this person. And this guy blew up. And now that piece that I could have bought for X is now worth XYZ. .000. And it's funny how life gets that way. And you sit there and you kick yourself for it, but the timing, unfortunately, wasn't right. I mean, sure, maybe I could have gotten a loan and done that, but the timing wasn't right. And the same goes for businesses. The same goes for certain opportunities. Sometimes the timing wasn't exactly right. And when the timing's right, you know it because you feel it, because there's nothing pulling you away from it. There's nothing that's like in the way that's just so difficult to overcome that you can't overcome it. If there is a difficult thing in the way, you will figure out a way to get around it if it's the right opportunity. If it's the right timing for you. I mean, this actually even goes along with not even a business deal. This goes along with a marriage. This goes along with meeting somebody, having a relationship with them. Is the timing right? Does your relationship have energy? Does it have momentum? Can y'all discuss logically about things that aren't all about rainbows and sunshine? Do you feel good about the relationship? Do you feel good? Do you see yourselves together for a long time? Do you have similar values? Is the timing right? These tools to figuring out if something is an opportunity make sense, whether it's a business deal, whether it's purchasing a piece of artwork, or it's going into a relationship or a marriage or a friendship. All these keys to opportunity cross all lines. They engage when it comes to relationships, to marriage, to everything, to business structure, to business ideas. And so I hope that I've helped you tonight. I hope that you can see the opportunity. I hope that you can get past the noise in your life, get past that drama, recognize when it's in your life, see it for what it is, give it the amount of energy that you want to get it, and let it go. Always more answers, less questions. And Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.